Hello and welcome back to the 18 Yards podcast. The season is officially over. Man City are champions, Liverpool are third, United in second, and Chelsea make up the Champions League places. We've had a very drama-filled final day of the league with three different teams taking up the Champions League spots in the duration of the games. We've also got Arsenal, who went to the Conference League, then dropped out because Spurs won. So, fun-filled day of football today. So, and in today's podcast, we'll be running through the season by giving out the 18 Yards Awards. So we'll be looking at moments of the season, the best kit from the season, the best goal, and so on and so forth. Ari's going to give his opinion on who should win each award. I'll give mine. And we'll have a couple of nominees, which we'll then put out onto our social media for all of you guys to have a vote and to let us know who you think should win each award. Ari, how are you? Thank you for joining. You obviously aren't that happy. Madrid didn't win the title. Your thoughts on the season and putting it to a close?
I really wanted Leicester to qualify for the Champions League. And obviously, Madrid didn't win. So it's not been a good week for me. It's been a very sad week, in fact. But, you know, there was a lot of drama. And I'm a sucker for drama. I mean, even in La Liga, last game was full of drama. Especially the Premier League, as you've already mentioned. What an amazing, exciting day, especially for neutral fans like myself. Mm-hmm. So, overall, I'm happy with the season. Few disappointments, but overall it was a good season.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, the only way to describe this season, I think, is topsy-turvy. I think for many reasons, it's obviously not been a normal season. We had no fans in the grounds until the last two game weeks. Matches at an unparalleled pace. I think very rarely a day where we didn't have football to watch. So that was a good thing. And, you know, like different aspects of it, you could hear what was going on because of the empty stadiums. So it's been an interesting season. The first half of the season was definitely topsy-turvy. Like, I mean, Everton were on top, Southampton were on top, Spurs were leading. And it was just all over the place. And then obviously it evened out with, I think, logically, if you had looked at the season's fixtures and looked at it long-term, you would have come up with the answer that the team with the best squad depth would win the league, and that is what happened. Very deserving winners in Man City. So let's jump straight into the awards. So we've got our moment of the season. So just for the listeners, so we've, in the 18 Yards group, we've come up with maybe 3 to 4 nominees for each award, and we're going to give our verdict on who we think should win, and then we're going to put it to a public vote and release the results over the course of this week. So Ari, for moments of the season, why don't you take it away with the nominees?
Yeah, so we have 3 nominees for this award. The return of the fans, obviously. Villa smashing Liverpool, a fully fit Liverpool 7-2. And obviously Southampton suffering another 9-0 defeat, this time by the hands of Manchester United. So these are our 3 nominees for moment of the season.
I think let's get into each nominee. I think the 7-2, I think, was such a surprise because early on in the season, Liverpool were champions. And at that time, from that point on, they developed problems, they got injuries, etc. But at that point, they weren't looking like a shaky team. They were looking good. Fine, they had conceded a lot of goals against Leeds on the first day, but people had put that down to how Leeds were playing. And I was pretty shocked with Leeds on the first year, how they came at Liverpool. But yeah, for Liverpool to go and lose 7-2, I mean, I personally, I think it was the same day as the United Spurs 6-1. And I was in the jungle taking photographs. And I had an early start the next day. And I was like, you know, Spurs have won 6-1. It'll be an easy win for Liverpool over Villa, I'm just going to go to sleep. So I didn't watch the game. And I woke up at 5 in the morning and I looked at the score and I was like, what just happened? So So yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on that game and the significance of that result? Obviously, they've come third, so the significance wasn't as big as maybe it would have seemed. But how shocking was that for you?
I think it was a really shocking result, and more, I mean, except the significance of the game, I think that was the game where Ollie Watkins announced himself to the Premier League. He just coming up from the championship, you know, it's not always easy, and you know, he just comes up and scores a hat trick against the defending champions. So I think it's a really iconic match, and it's gonna go down the history as, you know, one of the greatest games in Premier League history, one of the classics. So really glad I watched it, you know.
Right. So the second moment of the season, I would say was United 9, Southampton nil. Obviously, when there's a scoreline of that stature, then it makes you stand up and and think, wow. And especially if it happens to the same team for the second season running. So I think unfortunate for Southampton. They have this tendency when they go a man down, they just sort of completely fall apart. And this was also, it was very surprising because it was also in a season where I think this was still, they hadn't completely, their form hadn't completely dropped, right?
Right.
They were doing well, and coincidentally, they had been doing well over the sort of season and a half since the last 9-0 in versus Leicester, right? And they had picked up and they had done well since then. And to then suddenly, from this 9-0, they've sort of really regressed. So what did you think of the game? And why do you think it stands a chance as moment of the season?
I think, you know, Southampton were clearly struggling with all the injuries, and obviously Jankiewicz was making his debut, and he got sent off in the first 2 minutes of the game. So I think that itself makes it an iconic game, because a guy who's making his debut at the age of 19 and he gets sent off in the first 2 minutes, and then his team goes on to lose 9-0. And I think Southampton were really unlucky in that game, because they got another red card, Bednarek, and that was not a red card. Shea Adams got a goal disallowed after a VAR check, which wasn't, in my opinion, that should have been a goal. But anyway, you know, obviously the only thing that makes this match, you know, a moment of the season is because of the scoreline, like you rightly said, because you don't get to see 9-0 scorelines week in, week out. I mean, you don't get to see 9-0 scorelines every year. I mean, obviously
I mean,
Southampton being an
unless you're
exception.
Southampton.
Right, but yeah, that's the only reason, and obviously the iconic moments of the game with VAR playing a huge part, wrong calls all around, and obviously Jankiewicz getting a red card in the first 2 minutes of his debut game for Southampton.
So those are the two match-based moments of the season. And finally, this is my moment of the season. Was when the fans finally returned. Now, I'm not going to pinpoint it to one fixture when they returned. And I'm not talking about the 2,000 fans that returned for the few games in December. I'm talking about the Carabao Cup final, the FA Cup semis, the FA Cup final, and the last two rounds of the Premier League game weeks. So I think this year has really signified the fact that football is nothing without the fans. And whether you're at the stadium or sitting at home or sitting in a country far away and watching the games, football is nothing without the fans. And I think the fans at the stadium are always a representation of that. They're not more fan, they're not like bigger fans or considered more fans of the club than anyone sitting at home or in another country. But they are a representation of all of us from all over the world cheering on the teams that we love. And I think without that, it really showed not just in the results and the fact that more away, there have been more away victories than home victories this season for the first time ever, but also in the fact that, I mean, the vibe, the passion, it's very different without the fans. So I think for me, definitely all of these moments, when the fans return in these fixtures, I think for me, that was the sort of moment of the season for me, even though it was so late on.
Right, I agree with you. You've put it perfectly. I mean, football is nothing without the fans, and it was just a sight for the eyes to see them back in the stadium and cheering for the teams that they love and we love.
Right, so I think we both do agree on the winner of this category.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's the fans.
Okay, so obviously, like all the other awards, everyone, you can have a vote on this, and we'll be putting up our winners as well. Now, moving swiftly on to kit of the season, we've got three. We've got City away, which is a sort of a black number with a pattern, a light pattern on it. There's Southampton home, which is the red with the white strip going diagonally across. And third is the Leicester away with a very clean white look, white Adidas look. I think for me, I really like the Leicester away from these three. What do you think?
I really like the city one. I mean, it's black and it has stuff written on it on dark brown or golden, a darkest shade of golden, and it has a great pattern on it. So, and I think it's the best of the three city jerseys. And in my opinion, surely the best jersey in the Premier League this season is Manchester City away jersey.
All right, so that was a quick one. Obviously, you guys can have your say on which one of these should win. Now moving on to a tougher category, and I'd like to hear your views on this. Is goal of the season.
Right, so we have five nominees for this. Lanzini versus Spurs in the 3-all draw early on the season. Ferran Torres versus Newcastle, one of his goals in his hat trick just a few weeks ago. Harry Kane versus Crystal Palace, another great long range strike. Edinson Cavani versus Fulham last week. He chipped the goalkeeper from a lot of distance, and obviously Lamela's Rabona against Arsenal in the second North London derby. So, what are your thoughts on it, Raihan? These are the nominees.
I think, for me, I think these four goals, or at least, these four goals signify three or four different skills. One is a long range chip over the keeper from Cavani last week. The other from Kane was similarly long ranged, but it was sort of a first time ball in and first time shot into the top corner, which is so precise. Torres was just an acrobatic finish, and Lamela was just technical skill. I mean, fantastic. For me, I would have to say Lamela, because I mean, you've got to love a Rabona. So that's my choice. What do you think? Are you gonna agree with Lamela, or do you think Lanzini? You can comment on the Lanzini goal versus Spurs, because I'd rather not talk about that one.
I mean, I'm confused. I mean, Lanzini's goal was obviously brilliant, and considering it was a late equalizer in a London derby, so that just makes it even more special. But I'm confused between two goals. One is obviously Lamela's Rabona against Arsenal, and the other is Torres's acrobatic finish against Newcastle. But considering the importance of the game, I think Lamela's goal against Arsenal takes it because it was in a derby. And it was against Tottenham's fiercest rivals, and he hit that beauty out of nowhere. So I think I'm confused, but I think Lamela should win this 18 yards award.
Perfect. So we've got Lamela, City away, and the return of the fans as the winners of the first three awards. Now moving on to more sort of player and team-based awards. We've got our signing of the season. We've listed out four players here. We've got Ruben Dias from Benfica to Man City. We've got Emiliano Martinez from Arsenal to Aston Villa. We've got Wesley Fofana. I'm not too sure which club he came from, but the transfer into Leicester. And we've got Pierre-Emile Højbjerg from Southampton to Tottenham. So Ali, why don't you comment on each of the players a bit, and then we can both give our answers on who's the signing of the season.
I think Wesley Fofana came from the French league, and you know, he's just 20 years old, and no one expected him to be so good. But he, out of all the Leicester defenders, they have Soyuncu, they have Evans, and obviously Fofana with the third centre back, and he was the best among all these three, even at the age of 20. And you know, he just improved the Leicester defense, which I felt last season was not up to the mark. And for that reason, I think, and because of his price, I mean, he wasn't very expensive. And for that reason, I think he's a nominee in our signing of the season. Obviously, Højbjerg came from Southampton for a very low fees, and he just changed Spurs. He changed Spurs, made them a better team, at least for the first half of the season. It wasn't his fault when Spurs were defending badly, but he's the person, a tank. He was a tank, I mean, a warrior. And you know, he, for the way that he changed Spurs, I think that's the reason why we've nominated him for the signing of the season. Coming to Emi Martinez, I mean, he was the best defender in the league. Sorry, best goalkeeper in the league. You know, making important saves, winning. You know, for a keeper to win games on his own is very rare, and Emi Martinez did that on numerous occasions for Aston Villa. So obviously he's a nominee in the signing of the season. And obviously Ruben Diaz, I mean, I couldn't speak more about him. I mean, everyone knows how great he's been. He just recently won the Football Writers Player of the Year award in the Premier League. And you know, he's been one of the best players in the league. So obviously he's, for me, he's the signing of the season because he's the reason City have won the league.
Right. So obviously, I think Diaz will be on everyone's lips. I think, you know, all four of these players have stood out. Højbjerg, for example, has played the most minutes in the Premier League of any player. And you know, obviously, towards the end of the season, he's had a few questionable performances, but that's easy to understand when you've played over 3,500 minutes in a season, and that's just in the Premier League. He started most of our Europa League games as well. So I think I'm not going to dispute Diaz, but I think Højbjerg, Fofana, his young age and how he just come in and really shored up that Leicester defense, and Martinez, obviously all the FPL fans will know how integral he has been to Villa and to most of our FPL teams this season. So I think I'm going to go and agree with you on Diaz. Now moving on to our breakout player of the season. Ari, do you want to go ahead and read out the nominees?
Yeah, so we have four nominees in this category. Emile Smith Rowe of Arsenal, Patrick Bamford of Leeds United, Pedro Neto of Wolverhampton, and Eberechi Eze of Crystal Palace.
Right. So I think for me, it would be between Emile Smith Rowe and Bamford. I think just to comment on Emile Smith Rowe, I think Arsenal's season sort of it didn't turn around massively, but they were I think 13th, between 13th and 15th in December when they played Chelsea and they won 3-0. And I think that was one of the first few games that Emile Smith Rowe started, and I think his introduction and Saka hitting form really took Arsenal back into contention for Europe. And, you know, they finished eighth, but it took them from their season becoming a complete disaster to it being a pretty terrible season. And, you know, for a young player like Emile Smith Rowe to have played the way he played in a team that is performing poorly already, it obviously says a lot. I think he's one of the players to look at. I think Patrick Bamford, he's slightly older than the other players in the in this list, but you know, he scored 14 goals, and
17,
sorry,
17, yeah.
17 goals, my bad, 17 goals, and that just goes to show how this guy has come from the championship. Everyone had written him off. You know, they bought Rodrigo in the summer and everyone thought Rodrigo would start, including me. And from day one, I think he's got a brace against Liverpool. And from day one, Patrick Bamford has nailed down his spot as one of the better Premier League strikers this season. Ari, do you want to comment on Neto?
Yeah, I mean, when Raul Jimenez got injured, you know, there were a lot of questions who's going to carry this Wolves attack. You know, they're finished. Wolves might be fighting for relegation because, you know, they didn't have anyone other than Raul Jimenez who was scoring goals. And obviously, they scored Diego Jota. But then this young kid who's 20 years old, he's younger than me. He just took the entire Wolves attack on his shoulders, you know. And, you know, at the age of 20, he carried the entire team for majority of the season. And when he got injured last month, I mean, Wolves started struggling to score again. So I think, you know, he was this was his breakout year. I mean, he got 5 goals and 6-7 assists, if I'm not wrong. And those are good numbers for a 20-year-old who does not have any support in the attack because Adama Traore was having a stinker of a season. Podence was coming in and out of the team due to injury. So I think a 20-year-old Pedro Neto had to carry this Wolves team this entire season, and he did a fairly good job, in my opinion.
And finally, I think this has been one of my favorite players to watch this season, and I did I'm just going to toot my own horn here and say I did early on in the beginning of the season say that he is a young player to watch this season in Eberechi Eze. Unfortunately, you know, he's got an injury right at the end of this season, which will probably keep him out till early next season, which is sad because, I mean, he just makes watching Crystal Palace a joy. You know, he floats on the field, does everything relaxed and controls the ball in a really amazing way. And he's just been one of the better players for Palace this season. But for me, I don't think he's been good enough to make a cut above the other three players in this list. And for me, it would have to be Bamford, followed very closely by Emile Smith Rowe.
I agree with you. I think Patrick Bamford should get this award.
Great. So I think we're agreeing on a lot of stuff today. now, going into the final five awards of this season, we've got the surprise of the season, the player surprise of the season. So we obviously have Wesley Fofana, who came from France, relatively unknown, and sort of really took the league by, not took the league by storm, because that's a term you'd usually use for attackers, but really, you know, help Leicester stay in the top four. And coincidentally, they only dropped out of the top four when he got injured and left the field this evening. Fofana is one. The other two are Lingard and Gundogan. Ali, do you want to give us your thoughts on both those players?
We knew Gundogan's a good player. But this season, Guardiola sort of changed his position from, you know, and he was more attacking, and he's been City's highest goal scorer in the Premier League this season. I think that speaks volumes considering he's not a striker, nor is he an attacking midfielder. He's a number eight. And for a number eight to score 12, 13 goals in a season is a huge deal. And considering Gundogan had never scored more than 7 or 6 goals in the Premier League before, so I think that was really surprising to see. And his form between December and March, those 4 months, he was the best player in the Premier League. And I think those 4 months, City went on a 22-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's no... you can just join the dots. Gundogan having the form of his life and City having the form of their life. So I think obviously Gundogan deserves a place in our as a nominee in the surprise of the season.
About Gundogan. I think I really agree with you about Gundogan here because, you know, Pep said it in his interview today, and we'll discuss it more when we talk about manager of the season, how they've started really poorly. And, you know, by December, again, it's sort of in a similar way to Emile Smith Rowe's form and Arsenal's form. They played Chelsea, they beat Chelsea. And like you said, when Gundogan started scoring the goals and playing really well, that's when City picked up and they sort of realized that, you know, they're still in this title race, and from then on they just kept winning, and look where they are today. Sorry, go ahead about Lingard.
Yeah, so I was saying Lingard was completely frozen out of the United team. You know, he's been a meme for a couple of years now. You know, Lingardinho, people calling him Lingardinho, you know, shaming him on social media. But then he, you know, and he talked about this, you know, in an interview, saying, you know, it's hard for a player when people are abusing, you know, social media. You know, it's a really dark place for a player when you're not getting any playing time. So United loaned him out to West Ham, and oh my god, I 180 degree turned his career around.
Yeah.
He became West Ham's best player starting from January till the end of the season, scoring important goals, winning player of the month, assisting a lot of goals, scoring a lot of goals, you know, becoming an integral part of David Moyes' team that reached the Europa League. And, you know, for that reason, I think he deserves a place in the nominee for the surprise of the season. And in my opinion, deserves the award. I mean, because no one would have believed, firstly, no one would have believed Lingard would have started a game in the Premier League, considering how United had completely frozen him out. And, you know, kudos to West Ham for, you know, observing him and, you know, making the right decision of loaning him in. And, you know, like I said, I mean, if, in my opinion, he deserves the surprise of the season.
Great. So I do agree with you again about Lingard. I think I had written him off. You know, there were links for him to come to Spurs in the summer, and I was laughing them off, saying, you know, anyone but Lingard. And he's just sort of proved all of us wrong, all of his doubters wrong, and had a really, really good second half of the season. He's got himself back in that England squad, and it looks like he will head to the Euros for England, and rightly so. Moving on to the surprise of the season team, I think this was the season for surprise teams. I think, you know, if you look at the season as a timeline, you can see in the beginning there was Everton and Aston Villa. Then obviously Leeds have been there throughout. You had Aston Villa up there till December. You had Leeds in the second half of the season. You had West Ham in the second half of the season, where they looked like they were sure going to make the top four. So there have been this is one that's been tough to choose from, and we've gone with two positive surprises and one negative surprise. So the negative surprise is Sheffield United. You know, they were really, really good last season, and I think they finished 8th, if I'm not wrong,
or
slightly
or
lower. Yeah, 8th or 9th. And they had this really unorthodox style of play where, you know, they had those sort of overlapping center backs, which we had never seen before. And this season, it just all went downhill from there. They were the first team to get relegated. They had to sack their long-term manager, Chris Wilder. So it's really not gone to plan for them. So that was a sort of a, that wasn't as big of a surprise as maybe the next two teams, but I think it was quite a surprise. Right. Before we move on to the two nominees for the positive surprise, I think we have to mention Aston Villa. Fine, they have finished 11th, but for a team that escaped relegation by a point last season, they've had a brilliant season. And
the best part was, sorry, they escaped relegation because of a wrong VAR call.
Yeah. So if Grealish had stayed fit, then I do think that they would have finished in the... But now down to the two nominees. We've got West Ham and Leeds. Ali, I'm going to comment a little bit about Leeds, and then I'll pass it over to you to talk about West Ham.
Yeah.
So I think there was murmurs about this Leeds team and Bielsa and the sort of the cult hero that Bielsa is in football, about how they would play this season. But I think it's safe to say from that first game against Liverpool, it was stunning how this team just sort of came out and ran and ran and ran and ran and really gave the champions a tough fight. Right? And I think they've been running in the Premier League since that day. They finished 9th. Which is brilliant. They've done it with a really, really cohesive and strong style of play under Bielsa. They have, they don't have many flair players. I think the only one I can think of is Rafinha and maybe Jack Harrison. But they don't have star players. They've got this sort of collective, and they attack as a team, they defend as a team, they build up as a team. And I think that's really, really admirable to see. And as a Spurs fan, it's something I would like to see in my own team. And it's surprising that a team that's just, you know, been promoted is showing more of that better coaching, better understanding amongst one another than a club like Tottenham or Arsenal. And I think they've just been amazing to watch. I think whenever, from the neutral's point of view, it's been amazing to watch. Whenever I've had free time and Leeds is playing, no matter who they're playing, I watch because it's going to be entertaining. Obviously, there are some questions about their defense, which I think with a couple of signings can be fixed. And I think they can really go on to, challenge for Europe next year and hopefully build a legacy like the Leeds of the 90s and early 2000s.
Right. I mean, they have
Right,
been
so
really
yeah, sorry, go
entertaining.
ahead.
They've been really entertaining. And, there were a lot of criticisms in the beginning of the season as to why commentators are always, saying good things about Leeds United, even if they're losing 6-2 to United. But you just have to see them play. I mean, I think they're the most entertaining team in the Premier League. And, it's all because of the manager.
I agree. I think, he is a cult hero. He's had a huge influence on the game. And it's also important to note that this is the first time, if he stays next season, that this is the longest he would have stayed at a club. So he clearly sees something in this Leeds team and at the club, that he wants to be there as a long-term project.
Yeah.
Now talking about West Ham, they also had a torrid season last year. They were almost relegated, and to go from that to qualifying in the Europa League and qualifying especially above Spurs and Arsenal for them is a big deal. So why don't you tell us about your thoughts on West Ham and why they're a shoo-in for this award?
I think like you said, they had a very bad season last year, and this season, they just surprise everyone. And that was mostly because of the signings that they made in the summer. Vladimir Kaufal and Thomas Suchek, the Czech duo. And obviously, Thomas Suchek has a good shout of being one of the signings of the season. They loaned him in January last year, and they made the loan permanent in the summer of 2020. And he's just changed his team around. Even Kaufal has done wonders. And but mostly, majorly, it's because of the manager, David Moyes, what he's been doing with the club. They love him over there. He has a good presence. He's been, and obviously, they took Lingard on loan in January, and they've just been doing great since his arrival. So I think it's because of their scouting, and it's because of the players that they've signed in the summer and in January. Thomas Suchek, Kaufal, Lingard, all these players have turn their fortunes. And even Declan Rice, he just gets better every year, and he's still so young. So I think they have a really good positive vibe around the entire team, and I really like them. My vote for surprise of the season team goes to West Ham.
Great. Wait, did you say yours goes to West Ham?
Yeah.
Mine goes to Leeds. So I think that's finally we've deferred on one, and the people can decide which one of our nominees they prefer. Moving on to Young Player of the Year. We've got three nominees. I think the winner of this one's going to be pretty clear. But all three are fantastic players who've had fantastic seasons. It's Phil Foden, Bukayo Saka, and Wesley Fofana. I think with Foden, it's his third Premier League title, but it definitely feels like, and I overheard this on Sky Sports, so I'm quoting from there, that it feels like his first, and that's very aptly putting it because his contribution this season has been much more than any of the previous seasons, and Pep has finally trusted him to be David Silva's successor, and he's just gone from strength to strength to strength. And City, obviously, with him in the side and possibly with another Englishman coming next season, which is not very good news for me, are looking like a formidable side. And I mean, he's got that, Foden has that air around him while he's on the field of almost a, dare I say, Messi, if you know what I mean. So for me, it's definitely got to be Foden. What do you think? Do you want to give us a rundown on Saka, because I think we've spoken about Fofana a lot,
Yeah.
and who your winner for this award is.
I think Saka has been brilliant for Arsenal. I mean, he's so versatile. He can play as a left back, he can play as a right winger, as a left winger, he can play as a midfielder. And you know, he's such a great player to have in your team because of that very reason. And like we've already mentioned before, his change in form since since December is the reason Arsenal were fighting for Europe till the last game of the week, last game of the season. And you know, Saka, I think he deserves to be on the plane for the Euros. He's been great for Arsenal in the Europa League, in the Premier League. And Fofana, I think we've already talked enough about Fofana, him being 20 years old and him just changing Leicester's defense entirely. But I think this award is really obvious. I mean, it has to be Phil Foden. He scored 9 goals, he's given 5, 6 assists, and you know. And we're not mentioning his form in the Champions League. That's an entirely different story. This is just the Premier League, and he's been brilliant, one of City's best players this season. And yes, he's the young player of the season. No doubts about that.
Perfect. Now down to the last two. We've got manager of the season. We've got Pep Guardiola, Marcelo Bielsa, and David Moyes. You just talked about Moyes and how he's taken West Ham from 17th last year. I'm not 17th. I'm not sure what they finished. I think they finished maybe 15th, 16th.
Yeah, but they were
Exactly,
fighting for
exactly.
survival to the last game week.
Yeah, and fighting for survival just like reminds me of the number 17, because you know that's the team that just sort of makes it out. But yeah, so Moyes, Bielsa, who's taken the league by storm, and Pep. I think even though Moyes and Bielsa are, you know, you could say Moyes is the front runner for this award, but for me, I think for me it was Bielsa a couple of weeks back. Or Moyes slightly earlier when they were in the top four. But I think I've sat here today and I've looked at the entirety of the season. And I've seen that City, after the first 8 games or so, were not in the running. They were nowhere near. And they didn't even look like they were near the top of the table in terms of how they were playing, how their performances were. But the way Pep has turned it around and so comfortably walked the league, just shows that, you know, I mean, it's changed my entire opinion on him. You know, I used to rate him as the third best manager of the modern era. Now I think the best is still Sir Alex Ferguson, but I think definitely now Pep is second in my opinion. And I've always rated Pep, but not as highly. And this season has really changed my opinion. So for me, it has to be Pep.
You know, I was really hoping that this will be the award that we're going to disagree upon, but it's Pep for me too. I mean, how can there be any other manager? How can you even think of any other manager when he's won the league without a striker in the first 11? And that is insane. How can you
Exactly.
walk the league without a striker? And you know the way he's changed Gundogan's game. Like I mentioned before, you know, he gave him a more free room to attack, and he's, you know, delivered. Obviously, Kevin De Bruyne hasn't played 30 games; he's played 20, 22 games of this season. He's utilized Phil Foden perfectly. Utilized, you know, City have a massive squad, and to utilize every player to their best is a magician's work. And I think Pep has done it perfectly. You know, he's utilized Mahrez, he's utilized Ferran Torres, he utilized Phil Foden, Kevin De Bruyne, Gabriel Jesus. Obviously, Aguero, who's going to leave City, unfortunately. Aguero, he's utilized Diaz, Stones, Cancelo, every one of them. And what he's done is he's brought out the best in each and every player of the team. And, you know, I think currently managers who are not retired. Obviously, Sir Alex has retired. In my opinion, he's the best manager in the world currently. And, you know, I can't even see past Pep in this list of managers season. I think he deserves it more than anyone else on the list.
Great. So I think we're continuing the trend of agreeing. I think possibly we may agree on this last one, I'm not sure. And finally, it's the big one. It's player of the season. We've brought it down to three nominees, which is Harry Kane, Ruben Diaz, and Bruno Fernandes. I think everyone can predict which one mine is going to be. So Ari, I'm going to let you. Let you talk about your winner, And whoever the other player you want to talk about is, because I'm gonna talk about Kane.
See, I'm going to talk. See, I don't think Bruno's had a brilliant season, no doubt about that. He's been United's best player. And in fact, apart from Shaw and Bruno, there's zero consistency in the United team. Bruno has been brilliant, but unfortunately, in my opinion, he does not have what it takes to challenge Diaz. And so I'm going to talk about Diaz now. He's been the sign of the season. We've talked about him. He just came and changed the entire defense. Apart from improving his own game, he improved the games of people around him. He improved John Stones. He improved Zinchenko. He improved Cancelo. And that's a massive, massive impact. We're talking about the same impact that Van Dijk made for Liverpool a couple of years ago. He just won the Football Writers Player of the Year award a few days ago. He's been the best, probably will be in the top 10 for Ballon d'Or if Portugal win the Euros, and possibly even make the top 5. You never know. He's been a brilliant, brilliant addition to the already brilliant City team, and to stand out in such a great squad is just amazing to me. And he's been brilliant. I think we agree on this. I think and you're going to talk about it, so I'm just going to say Diaz has been brilliant, but he's won the league, but Kane deserves the award in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, playmaker of the season and Golden Boot winner. He's, I think, the only third player ever to do it, and the first since 1994, since Andy Cole did it, to win it. And that just goes to show, and I think that speaks for itself. He's been so good this season. And it's kind of highlighted because he's been playing in a team that's come seventh and has not been at the races this year. He has showed us a different aspect to his play with his playmaking. And I think for me he's been the standout player this season. And I don't think that he'll actually win the Maker Awards and the Golden Boot that he's won obviously speak for himself. And like I said, Diaz, I think, will still end up winning the PFA Player of the Year because it's usually preferred to go to a title winner. So that's our awards for the past season. We're gonna put them all down for on our social media for you guys to vote on. And yeah, we're obviously we've got a lot of new content coming up from this week. We've got a video about the Europa League final. We're doing our live shows for that final. We've got a podcast episode with a Man City fan and a Chelsea fan discussing the Champions League final. And we'll be live again for the Champions League final. And then from next week, we'll be releasing our weekly episode on two groups per episode of the Euros, and we'll be previewing every country's squad every day. On our social media, we'll be doing reels for the sort of lesser known teams and slightly longer videos for the more known teams. So do tune in, send us your suggestions, questions, thoughts, and comments about our content and about what you'd like to hear from us. Ari, thank you for joining. As always, thank you everyone for listening. Hope everyone is safe and keeping healthy. Okay, done.
Dub.
Good. Well, you went quiet. I thought you left.
No, I'm here only, bro. I don't leave.
Okay, it's all done.
So perfect. I'll make the graphic, and when once you post the recording, let me know, huh? I'll
Okay,
post
cool.
it.
Cool,
Cool,
cool.
cool. Bye,
Bye.
bro. Good night.
Good night.